It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now I know that you guys call me Corner Dot and you think that I'm always worried about something. I think that my worries, at least right now, are well-founded. I want to tell you a player yesterday that was out there getting fricasseed. I mean, deep fried yesterday. I've got the stats if you don't believe me. So I told you guys before the break that I am no longer going to call this the Eric Warfield Award. We're not even going to call it the Burnt Toast Award. We are giving it its own name, which makes sense given the Kansas City flavor. Rob, we are now going to call it the Barbecue Chicken Alert.
Barbecue Chicken Alert. Barbecue Chicken Alert.
That's what we're going to call it. Barbecue Chicken Alert. Can I tell you guys how Nazi Johnson played yesterday? Let me tell you. Nazi Johnson was targeted 12 times. He gave up a catch in 9 of those targets. Nazi Johnson gave up 103 yards yesterday and gave up a touchdown. Rob, the passer rating when Josh Allen threw towards Nazi Johnson was 128.1. Now I know text line, Corner Dot, you know Spags is going to scheme him up. You always do this. Okay, that's fine. You can feel that way, and I'm not telling you that's not going to be true. But until proven otherwise, he is not Nazi Johnson on this show. We got a new name for him.
Barbecue Chicken Alert. Barbecue Chicken Alert.
Man was out there getting cooked last night. Getting an all cardio workout yesterday. He was getting. That man was trailing all night yesterday. He was a problem yesterday. An absolute problem. Now, I get it. Jalen Watson, who was having a very strong season, broke his ankle. And now the Chiefs are trying to figure out what they're going to do with that second corner spot. Nazi, you were not the only one that was out there barbecue chicken. That Roland Wazlis kid, I'm not convinced that he knows who Patrick Mahomes is. I'm not sure that Patrick Mahomes has ever talked to Christian Roland Wazlis. He was out there getting cooked yesterday, Rob. Joshua Williams was out there getting fricasseed yesterday. It wasn't good for the Chiefs corners last night. No, let me tell you. Now, some of that is the pass rush, and their pass rush has a pretty tough time getting home. Last year, the Chiefs, I believe, had 57 sacks. They currently have 18, so they are way off their pace last year. Now, they had better corners last season. They had L'Jarius Sneed, who certainly played at a Pro Bowl All-Pro level. You guys know what happened to him. He doesn't play for the Chiefs anymore. I'm not telling you that the sky is falling. I'm not telling you that these guys can't improve. But I'm telling you that one of your fears at the deadline, what's their cornerback room look like and how much experience that they have. I don't have any questions about Trent McDuffie. He's good. My question about those other guys, because yesterday we saw Josh Allen take turns giving those individuals a workout. Nazi Johnson got a little bit. Joshua Williams got a little bit. Roland Wazlis got some. Chamari Connor had a big penalty. Their secondary was not strong yesterday. This was the worst defensive performance they have had in quite some time, and it was the first time, Rob, that I've felt that the injuries that they've taken have really started to take a toll on the defense. We mentioned at the top of the show, they have had 3 drives near the end of the game in each of their last 3, and their defense has not held up. Their defense didn't hold up on Tampa Bay's final offensive drive on Monday Night Football. The Broncos went down the field to put themselves in field goal range. And yesterday, this was a one-possession game. All you needed the Chiefs to do was to get off the field. It didn't matter if Buffalo even kicked a field goal. You could have ran 3-4 minutes off the clock. Kick a field goal, give Patrick Mahomes a little bit of time to go down the field and score, and the defense couldn't do it. One of the reasons their defense couldn't do it was this.
Barbecue chicken alert. Barbecue chicken alert.
So I'm not here to defend Nazi Johnson, who was really bad.
He wasn't good.
I mean, like, really bad. May the worst game of his NFL career. Not that he's some all-pro that has had a bad day. He was horrible. But there's always been a relationship between pass rush and secondary. And it seems like the Chiefs, or at least Spag's system, or his scheme, whatever you want to call it, has been, we're going to blitz. How many times have you watched a Chiefs game and Tony Romo's like, look, they're coming from here, they're coming from here, they're going to come from here, they're bringing everyone. That's a sentence I hear all the time on Chiefs games. That Monday night game against the Bucks, Aikman was enthralled by how many people they're bringing. Tom Brady on his podcast talks about, yeah, I know Spags well. He brings a lot of pressure. Well, you know what's not happening right now? That pressure's not getting home. And when that pressure doesn't get home, it causes a lot of stress on the secondary. Last week, Trent McDuffie wasn't very good, but there also was a better pass rush, but still, pass rush issues. This week, Josh Allen was as clean back there as I can remember any quarterback against Spags. Not just the Bills, anyone. He could do whatever he wanted. He, even on the last play of the game, had time to scramble around before making the run. Like, the pass rush was not getting there. Basically, if you don't wear 95, you are useless in the pass rush right now. And if that doesn't change, cornerback 3, cornerback 4, rotational special teams guy that have been thrust into bigger roles are absolutely going to get flamed. It's just how it works. I understand why it happened. Nazi Johnson versus Amari Cooper was not the Chiefs' plan in August. It wasn't. Brett Veach never thought, hey, in this game in November, I really hope we get a one-on-one between Roland Wallace and, you know, Shakur for the Bills. That was not the plan. But when you're forced into that dude injury, your pass rush has to hit home. And Josh Allen had eons of time to stand back there and pick apart the Chiefs. I mean, that two-minute drive. I know the Chiefs eventually get the stop and they kick the field goal right before half, then Bills. Josh Allen was just boop, 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 hitting everyone, including Curtis Samuel, who hasn't existed all season because they have time to get open because Josh Allen has time to get from read 1 to read 2 to read 3 to read 4. The last couple times the Chiefs and Bills have matched up, it's been like a 17-13 game because Spags has schemed it up. I don't know if the Bills just made adjustments finally, but Josh Allen with forever to throw is more the problem to me than Nazi Johnson being exposed.
I'm looking at the standings right now, and the Chiefs are 25th in sacks. There are a handful of teams, obviously, that are below them. They have 19 sacks on the season. To let you guys who number one is, number one's the Broncos. The Broncos have 35 sacks on the season. I think we saw how good their pass rush and their defensive line is yesterday. So I just wanted to pass those stats to you guys. If you were just tuning in, let me tell you what Nazi Johnson did in pass defense against Buffalo. 9 catches on 12 targets, 103 yards, 1 touchdown allowed, 128.1 passer rating. Nazi Johnson was not good in the secondary yesterday for Kansas City. If you guys want to chime in, you still can. 913-586-7965. 913-586-7965. I am going to share a moment of transparency with you guys. I would like to think of myself as a maturing individual. Notice I did not say mature. I am maturing. I'm growing. I'm getting older. I'm getting closer to 40. I'm closer to 40 than I am 30. And at some point, you got to put down childish ways. And I can accept that. But there are things that are either said or done that when they happen, I'm sorry, I can't help but chuckle. I can't help but laugh. And when when Jim Nantz said this during yesterday's game, I was not the only one. It's okay to admit it. You laughed too.
Shakur holding on as Cook absolutely blasted his backside.
When Jim Nantz said that, Rob, I was like, whoa, what's going on? I was like, what happened? I was watching it. I was like, whoa, what happened? That was crazy to say. If I was Romo, I don't know if I could contain myself if my co-host just said this and was serious about it.
Shakir holding on as Cook absolutely blasted his backside.
Okay. All right. I think that's right. I'm the only one that thinks that's funny. It was funny to me. I laughed. Again, I said I am a maturing individual. I never called myself mature. I'm working on it. I'm trying to be better. I want to be better. I got to be better. But funny is funny. And that was funny. Coming up in about an hour, we're going to be joined in studio by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Very happy to be joined by Mitch Holthus. Coming up, let's talk about Travis Kelce. And Travis Kelce had one of his worst games in a while. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. This is the part of the show where some of you get mad at me for telling you things that you just saw. And I get it. That is just my role on the show sometimes, and that's perfectly fine. And I also promise that we won't spend too much time on this topic because I don't want to upset any of you guys. I told you guys off the top of the show that the Chiefs do a lot of things right. They are 9-1. I still would have them as the best team in the league. I still think they are the best team in the league. I still trust this team more than I trust any other team in the league, but we got to discuss what happened yesterday. That's just kind of the job. And this is why I will make an agreement with you guys that I won't spend too much time on it if you guys can also be honest about something yesterday, and then we can move on, I promise. I know that we sometimes sell it like teams are double and triple teaming Travis Kelce to take him out of the offense. Can we acknowledge that's not what Buffalo did yesterday? How Buffalo defended Travis Kelce was they played man yesterday. That's what they did. We're not going to let you run free in a zone and let you run off script and let Pat run around and find you open in the middle of the field. We're going to put somebody on you, and that person's going to shadow you. And we don't think that you can run away from this individual. You're going to keep everything near the line of scrimmage. That's kind of what you've become as a player. And we're going to play pretty physical man coverage against you, and we don't think you can beat it. That's how Buffalo defended Travis Kelce yesterday. Now, I know we will use he was being used as a decoy yesterday. For who? D-Hop wasn't on the field really yesterday. Who is he being a decoy for? And over the last few weeks or so, Kelce's been getting a lot of targets in this offense now with no Rashee Rice and with the injuries that they have. He got 4 targets yesterday. He wasn't even their most targeted wide receiver yesterday. That was Noah Gray. Noah Gray had more yards than him yesterday, had 2 touchdowns yesterday. So we don't have to spend too much time on it. But yesterday was not the Bills were not double teaming Travis Kelce to eliminate him from the offense. They didn't really do anything exotic yesterday. They played man. Romo even made the observation. This is usually a team that plays a lot of zone. Today they're really manning up against Kansas City. Buffalo tried this novel concept. We don't think you got guys that can beat us. So we're going to line up in man. We're going to try to be physical against you. Sure, you're going to get some plays. You're going to put some drives together. We don't think you can do that consistently. And Buffalo's defense, for the most part, held up better than Kansas City's defense yesterday, and that's why they won. The drive that Mahomes put together, his final offensive drive where the game was close, was one of the best drives that we've seen. And you're going to do that. You're Kansas City. You still got Patrick Mahomes. You still got Andy Reid. We're still talking about a really good team here. You're never holding the Chiefs to 10 points. But yesterday, and Rob, you and I spent a lot of time this week talking about what their formula is as a team. What's their formula? Their formula is running the football with Kareem Hunt. He got 14 carries yesterday for 60 yards. Kareem was good yesterday. Kareem was fine. But if I had told you that between DeAndre Hopkins and Travis Kelce, they would get 37 yards receiving, you'd probably tell me, yeah, the Chiefs probably lose that game. That's what happened yesterday. Xavier Worthy had four catches for 60 yards. All of them were basically on one drive. And then outside of that, they didn't have another player have more than 30 yards receiving. D-Hop had 29 yards. Justin Watson had 26 yards. Noah Gray had 23. I mean, you know it's bad. Travis Kelce had fewer yards receiving yesterday than Peyton Hendershot. I don't even know what Peyton Hendershot looks like. Rob, you know what he looks like? If I handed you a picture right now of Peyton Hendershot, could you tell me, oh, I know who that is. He plays for the Chiefs. No clue you could tell me who that is. That guy had more receiving yards than Travis Kelce yesterday. I don't really think that Buffalo did something super exotic to take him out of the game. I think they just were physical with him and played man. That's how you should defend Travis Kelce in 2024. I don't know why teams let Travis Kelce run free against the zone. I really don't know why they do it. He is going to destroy you if that's what you do. And that's what he's been doing the last couple of weeks. Finding the soft spot in the zone. I'm going to camp right here, and I'm going to just paper cut you to death. 7 yards, 8 yards, 9 yards. Buffalo wouldn't let him do that yesterday. We're going to play man. We're going to be physical. And we don't think you can beat us yesterday. We don't think you can run past us the way that you used to could run past them. So we can move on. I don't want to talk anymore about Travis Kelce. I know it upsets you guys. That is just my observation from yesterday. Now, let me put on my Patrick Mahomes defender cape because I feel like I kind of got to defend Patrick Mahomes today. You've been seeing the text line. Text line's kind of blaming Patrick Mahomes. He got to control guys on the sideline. He's got to do all of this. I want you guys to really think about this. I'm serious. I want you to really think about this. I can name every player that touched the ball yesterday for the Chiefs. I want you to really think about how many of those players would you say are currently in their prime? And when we saw the best version of Patrick Mahomes, like we can pick a random game. We can go back to 2018, 2019, 2020, whatever year you want me to say. We can do the same exercise. How many players would you say are currently in their prime that touch the football? Because, Rob, yesterday, in terms of running backs, Kareem Hunt, Mecole Hardman, Xavier Worthy, Carson Steele, are any of those players, would you say, right now are in their prime as offensive players?
Maybe Hardman.
Okay.
Maybe Hardman.
Okay, that's fine. Mecole Hardman is the one, okay?
So maybe Noah Gray, too. I would say Noah Gray.
Well, okay, well, hold on, though. That's what I'm saying. Just running the ball. They had 17 rush attempts yesterday. So you were telling me they ran one carry yesterday with a running back that you think is currently in their prime. Just one. Okay, perfectly fine. Let me tell you all the receivers yesterday that received a pass from Patrick Mahomes. Xavier Worthy, DeAndre Hopkins, Justin Watson, Noah Gray, Mecole Hardman, Peyton Hendershot, Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce, Samaje Perine, Mike Caliendo, not to be confused with Frank, and Carson Steele. Out of that group of receivers, and I can count them up here, do some quick math, I think that's 12 different receivers touched the ball yesterday. How many receivers do they have that you would say are currently in their prime as offensive players?
That would be where I add Noah Gray. So it's Gray and Hardman.
Okay. If you want to know why the Chiefs offense is the way that it is sometimes, that's why. That's why. If you want to notice how we have seen a decline in some ways from Patrick Mahomes, it's that. Some of you think that Detroit's the best team in the league. That's perfectly fair to think that. If we did the same exercise with Detroit, how many players you think you would say that they're in the prime of their career? You'd argue David Montgomery, right? You'd argue Amon-Ra St. Brown. You'd argue Jameson Williams. You'd argue a lot of pieces.
LaPorta.
A lot of players that you would argue they are in the prime of their career, or this is their prime years. If you're telling me that there were 13 different players that touched the ball, and the two players that you think are in their prime are Noah Gray and Mecole Hardman, it explains sometimes why their offense stalls the way that it does. and how it went from an offense that you probably would have said there are a couple of guys. Rashee Rice, maybe not in his prime, but certainly an ascending player that you felt great about. Isaiah Pacheco, if that's not a player that you want to sign to a long-term deal because he's a running back, then in the middle of year three, guess what that is? That's your prime. This is your, you need to use all the Isaiah Pacheco you can before he is 27 years old and you want him to go play for another team because he wants to make $8 to $10 million a year. One of the reasons why their offense stalls the way that it is you kind of, you got Mahomes playing with a lot of guys who haven't gotten there yet, never will be, or past their prime. And Mahomes was at his best. He was at the absolute height of his powers when, think about the guys you had him with playing at the prime of their career. You had him with the best tight end in the history of the league in Travis Kelce, and maybe the greatest deep weapon, deep ball threat in the history of the league in Tyreek Hill. I mean, he was really good when you gave him weapons that are in his prime. Now you've given him clearance items and broken items and said, hey, go make the most out of it. Man, it's really hard to do that consistently. This is what I've been saying this whole time. The Chiefs are asking Patrick to do something that not many other good teams are asking their quarterback to do. I could ask you that same question about Baltimore. Does Baltimore have Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball, or Lamar Jackson throwing the ball to a lot of guys that you would say are not in their prime? Because I'm looking at Zay Flowers. I'm looking at Deontay Johnson. I'm looking at a lot of guys that are still playing really good football and still right in their prime of their offensive production. That is not what the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes doing. They have him playing with guys who are not there yet, like Xavier Worthy, who could be in that conversation, but not there yet. Never will be, are guys past their prime. If you're telling me that right now your three best offensive players are two wide receivers or tight ends in their 30 and a running back who is 28 years old, who was unemployed 2 months ago, it explains how they go through lulls in their offense.
However, let me say this. By the way, this year's been odd. You've been very Mahomes apologist-y this year. It's odd to see.
I just don't think you've given him a whole lot of dogs. I just that's my biggest thing is you and I watch the same NFL. I see offense and I see guys around the league that you've given them dogs. They don't have a lot of dogs. Again, we could ask that same question. The Jets, they got guys that are in their prime. Now, they have a lot of other broken infrastructure, but I just don't know how you can kind of expect greatness from Mahomes on a consistent level, at least based on what you saw. Because every conversation that we have about Mahomes is not based necessarily on how he's playing right now. It's based on the incredible expectations that have been placed on him that he's put himself in. When you are the best, they only compare your stuff to your old stuff. If you're a great musician or a great director, they don't compare Tarantino movies to other. No, it's, is this your favorite Tarantino movie? So you compare it to Django. You compare it to Pulp Fiction. So we're only comparing it to the best, right? Well, look at the cast that you gave Quentin Tarantino in these other movies. You know, the movie would be a lot worse if you just gave him random actors. You want to know why his movies are so good? He got Samuel L. Jackson starring in them. He's got Leonardo DiCaprio starring in him and Jamie Foxx starring in him. And you guys are trying to tell me he's got to make Xavier Worthy work, who doesn't know where the sideline is. You guys are trying to tell me that his best tight end yesterday was Noah Gray.
Let me ask you this, though, and this is where I'm going to get outside my Mahomes apologist-y era. Didn't Josh Allen have the same lack of dogs? And he was incredible yesterday and is probably the MVP of the league. Let's go through their weaponry and tell me how many of those guys are in their prime. Because Dawson Knox yesterday, Dawson Knox not in his prime. Dawson Knox, good player, solid player.
I can't argue that.
He's a backup tight end. Amari Cooper, he was once great in the league. He was great at Alabama pre-2010. He is not in the prime of his career anymore. Good player, similar to DeAndre Hopkins, not in his prime. You're telling me Curtis Samuel, did he ever have a prime? I mean, he had a nice day yesterday. I wouldn't say Curtis Samuel's in the prime of his career. So Josh Allen was thrown to Amari Cooper, Curtis Samuel. Now, Shakir in his prime, there's one. James Cook in his prime, there's two. That's the same number of players in their prime as weapons playing for the Buffalo Bills that you just told me Mahomes has playing for the Chiefs. And it's, well, how's Mahomes expected to be good with this group of ragtag randos who can't do anything? Josh Allen is the MVP right now, and he's doing it with a ragtag group of randos. And yesterday, he was just better than Mahomes.
I agree with that. You do not hear me arguing it. I said it. I said this a couple weeks ago. You would agree. You and I agree. Right now, the quarterback who is playing the best is Josh Allen. There's no denying that. Josh Allen is the favorite to win NFL MVP. I'm 100% with you. Now, let me continue my Mahomes apology tour because I will do it. Let me ask you a question. Who is the starting left tackle for the Chiefs week one?
Kingsley Suamataia.
What was he doing yesterday?
He had a very expensive hoodie on and was watching from the sideline.
Okay, I'm just asking. So hold on. You were telling me this. Now follow me here. I know I'm crazy. You're telling me that you haven't given Mahomes really any pieces currently that are in their prime, and you've told Mahomes, go make it work. And you're also telling me that they haven't figured out left tackle, and they ain't really figured out right tackle either. Well, damn, what else do you expect me to do in this scenario? We can't block. We can't block, and you're giving me a bunch of old guys to throw the ball to. And you expect me to go be the best? Let's be real. They have fumbled the left tackle situation. It's okay to acknowledge it now. They have fumbled it. They can still make it work because of who they are. But if you were telling me that you make a decision, they made the decision that Kingsley was their starting left tackle in May. They made that decision in May. They made it in June. They made it in July. They made it in August, all the way up until September. And then they saw Kingsley play, and they was like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Help. Help. Immediately they realized they made the wrong decision. Rob, their week one left tackle is now a healthy DMP. He's Justin Ross. That's who he is. He's getting healthy DMPs now. That's bad. Come on now. That's bad. I know we're playing this in Veach We Trust game, and I don't want to act like the sky has fallen here, but they completely fumbled left tackle. There's no argument against it now that they didn't fumble left tackle. They did. And the thing is, we could see this coming a mile away at left tackle. How long have we been clamoring for them to go get Donovan Smith? All offseason, you guys were saying, go get Donovan Smith. Go get Donovan Smith. We need more. We need more left tackle. We need more left tackle. I understand in Veach We Trust, he can be wrong on things, can he? He can be wrong. You trust your wife. She's wrong sometimes, isn't she? She might not admit it, but she gets things wrong. Veach got left tackle wrong. Veach got left tackle wrong, and via the draft, they have also gotten wide receiver wrong. They've gotten it wrong. Multiple times, they've gotten it wrong. And that kind of puts them in some of the situation that they're in where you're telling Mahomes a lot of times to make lemonade and you ain't giving them very good lemons to go do it with. So I'm fine to be an apologist. Text line saying you got to call like it is. That's fine. I just want you guys to answer my question. We watched the Chiefs game yesterday. How many offensive players would you say are in their prime? And when Mahomes is really good, how many pieces did they have? You want to know why Joe Burrow's balling out? Because you've given Joe Burrow a wide receiver who's currently in his prime. You've given him other weapons, other guys that are in their prime. Football ain't really that hard, man. You want to know why the Lions are so good? They got so many guys that are in their prime at the same time. You got your quarterback. You got two running backs. You got the best offensive line in the league. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's a top, what, 8 wide receiver in the league. I know you laughed at me for the longest time about Jameson Williams. We agree. He's figured it out now. Jameson's good. Jameson's good.
When he's not on roids or gambling, he's great.
He's good.
When he finds a way to get to the field, he's something.
That's true. No, that's true. Yeah. You've given Jared Goff dogs. I don't know if the Chiefs got a whole lot of dogs on their offense, man. I really don't. I don't know if they got a whole lot of them.
I think, and maybe 2022 just broke Brett Veach's brain a little bit. Because you're right, he doesn't have any dogs. But in 2022, it wasn't like Pat was throwing to prime Tyreek Hill and prime Kelsey. And in 2022, Patrick Mahomes was the MVP. He was throwing to Juju, who people thought was done coming off his Steelers tenure. Travis Kelsey was great that year, no doubt about it. And at the time, we thought, oh, he has a 7th-round pick at running back. That was the 2022 offense. It was, hey, can they get the most out of Juju? Elite tight end, 7th-round running back. Let's see if this group can make it work. And Patrick Mahomes won MVP that year. And maybe that's when me and Brett Veach and the power structure at Arrowhead and fans all kind of pivoted to keep doing more with less, because there was less in 2022, and he won a Super Bowl and the MVP, and it became clear in that moment, hey, no one is in his sphere as far as greatness. They're doing a lot of the same stuff in 2024, but it ain't looking the same in 2024, and I don't think anyone's in his sphere of greatness yet, but with similar weaponry to 2 years ago, he didn't have 14 and 10. He was throwing great passes, and it's not looking that way in 2024.
Rob, I want you to answer this question honestly. I've answered it honestly. I want you to answer it honestly. Do you think Buffalo's better than Kansas City?
Right now, yes. They outplayed Kansas City in every facet of the game yesterday. Offense, defense, special teams, 3-for-3, Buffalo was better. Coaching, add a fourth one. I think Sean McDermott, who I think very little of, by the way. I think he's like the
Which I don't really understand why you're so anti-Sean McDermott. It doesn't make sense, especially given how consistent they've been for as long as they've
been. I just feel like he's weirdly conservative. And for a defensive-minded guy, his defense is always just mediocre. And then there was the weird 9-11 analogy. There's a lot with Sean McDermott that's not to like. But coaching, special teams, offense, defense, the Bills were superior yesterday. It wasn't like, oh, Orchard Park was rocking and the Chiefs just, like, it was a tidal wave like a college team faces. Nope. Just every facet of the game, the Bills were better yesterday. Start to finish. Maybe it was just me, but even when it was, you know, 13-7 or 14-13, did you ever think to yourself, man, the Chiefs got this one? Because it felt like Buffalo was going to be in there for all four quarters, if not beat them.
I absolutely thought at the end of the game that the Chiefs defense was going to get off the field and give them a chance to win. I absolutely thought that. Now, you know, I've been holding on to the Chiefs have the best defense in the league. I don't think they have the best defense. I think they're still under the top. I think Pittsburgh has the best defense in the league. I got to get into that. But it was 23-21 with 8 minutes to go. I absolutely thought that Kansas City was going to get the ball back with a chance to win the game. I absolutely thought that. Now, I did think that Buffalo was going to go down the field and kick a field goal. I thought they'd kick a field goal. I thought that Kansas City was going to get the ball back 26-21, and now you got to score a touchdown to go win the game. I absolutely thought that at the way the game was turning. And we talked about it to kick off the show. Their defense let them down yesterday. This is the defense that has pretty routinely, I think, kind of saved the Chiefs from the fire or just given Patrick Mahomes an opportunity late to go win the game. And they didn't do that yesterday. Their defense had opportunities to get off the field. I mean, I'm looking at the drive right now. They had a 3rd-and-1 with 6 minutes to go. Josh Allen got 2 yards. They then had a 3rd-and-9 with 4 minutes and 30 seconds to go. You got to get off the field. It's 3rd-and-9. You think you're the best defense in the league, 3rd-and-9. Midfield, you got to get off the field. Josh Allen completes a pass play to Khalil Shakir. He gets 10 yards. That was the one we were playing the Brian Cook audio from. That plays in the fourth quarter. They have another third down. They stop him on the third down, and that's when Buffalo had a decision. What are we going to do? And we talked about it last week. At some point, Buffalo had to be, or I guess not just Buffalo, but teams in general, if you got Kansas City down, you got to start thinking fatality. And too many times teams do the little down, little sweep move and just, no, that's not enough. Kansas City will beat you if you do that. I don't know if that counts as a controversial decision or not, but they were faced with the decision. We can kick a field goal here and still give Kansas City a chance to win, or we can trust who we meaning Buffalo, believe is the best player in the league. And they trusted the best player on their team to go out and make a play. He scrambled for 26 yards. He scored a touchdown. That's probably the biggest play of his career. They won the game on that play. So you're asking me, like, in hindsight, I absolutely believed as I was sitting there on the couch, I absolutely believed that Kansas City was going to have a chance to win the game late, and their defense let them down. This was basically the hypothetical that I asked you last week about Kansas City. Would you trust the offense on the field, or would you trust the defense to get Josh Allen off the field? And we saw that scenario play itself out in real time. Their defense needed one stop to help them win the game, and their defense couldn't get it. It was over then. Buffalo was up 9 so Kansas City got the ball back with 2:17 left, down 9. You're not winning that game. Your percentage of winning that game is less than 3%. You got to score a touchdown there, or you got to get points, and you got to get an onside kick, and you got to score. That's one of the craziest three-leg parlays you've seen. They were not winning at that point, so I believed in the defense. I trusted the defense. We can talk more about the decision to kick the extra point when they were down and how the math kind of ended up not working out. But ultimately, the worst case scenario happened. The worst case scenario was you could not give up a touchdown. They did. And that's what did him in. Let's talk about that on the other side, because you were big on going for two late in the game. We'll go through the scenario. We'll also ask you guys what you think. 913-586-7965. Would you have gone for two late to kind of change the scoring? And it would have gave Kansas City an opportunity to win if they had converted the two-point conversion. Plus, we'll take your phone calls. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He was in Buffalo yesterday for the Chiefs' first loss of the 2024-2025 season. We'll get his thoughts on what happened yesterday. I know that we're having some of these conversations, and maybe you didn't hear the top, but I don't think that it should be woe is me. I don't think that the sky is falling. I don't think that the Chiefs are the worst team in the league. I don't think any of that. They lost. It's been a while since we've had a conversation about the Chiefs after a loss. Now, I don't think that what we saw yesterday should change your opinions too far against Kansas City. I never thought this team was going undefeated. You probably shouldn't have thought they were going undefeated. I get how they made people start to have that conversation, but it was always too early to be having the conversation about this team winning every single game. You don't need to win every single game. I think this is a 14-3, 15-2 team that is very much going to be there to the end. My biggest takeaways from the game are just more about the defense, and this is a team that has operated with the best defense in the league for the last 18 months, and their defense just hasn't played up to that standard the last couple of weeks. Baker Mayfield took a bunch of nobodies down the field, and they scored on Monday Night Football. Bo Nix put the Broncos in a position where they needed to kick a 35-yard field goal, and the defense had one role. Get Josh Allen off the field for their final offensive possession. They didn't do it. They lose the game, and that is how the Chiefs finally lose their first game. But their defense has been trending this way in some aspects the last couple of weeks, and you finally played a team talented enough, skilled enough, their quarterback is good enough to make you pay for some of the things that we've seen on defense. That's my biggest takeaway from this team. They're going to really need to get Charles Aminihu back to kind of help with the pass rush, and help is on the way. Isaiah Pacheco is coming back. He's one of the more explosive players that they have. You're going to continue to get Juju involved in the offense. He's one of the best wide receivers. I don't think that DeAndre Hopkins is only going to play in 47% of the offensive plays. I expect to see him play more, obviously, as the games get more important. So I don't think there's any reason to go to work really upset today. No one wants to see your team lose, but they're going to lose a couple of Sundays or Mondays this year. It's always to me about, are the Chiefs playing at a level in which you think they can win the Super Bowl? I still think the answer is clearly yes for Kansas City, but they got to shore their defense up a little bit. Their defense has been leaking oil a bit for the last couple of weeks. Hopefully this is a great reset. They certainly play teams that you can reset against. I want to see more Josh Uche. I want to see them show a better ability to get to the quarterback without sending blitzes. We talk a lot about Spags dialing up blitzes for this team, and that's great. But you got to be able to get pressure with your front four, and this team has not consistently shown you that they can get pressure with their front four. Chris Jones can get pressure. George Karlaftis can get pressure, and that's really been it in terms of getting to the other team's quarterback, and that really hurt them yesterday going up against a team that is pretty capable and pretty complete. Coming up in a bit, we're going to be joined by Mitch Holthus. All right, Rob, I want to give you the opportunity to cook here because you and I are on different sides of this. I'll let you go first. So after the Chiefs scored their final touchdown of the game, it was in the fourth quarter. They made the decision to kick the extra point. The extra point put them down 23-21. Now, they could have gone for two there, obviously added an extra point. And at the end of the game, they would have had a chance to win instead of making it an 8-point game as opposed to a 9-point game, which didn't give you a chance to win. Or let's say you don't get the extra, or let's say you don't get the 2-point conversion, you're down three, Buffalo scores a touchdown, and you're in basically the same place that they were at the end of the game. I didn't have a problem with them kicking the extra point because I would have trusted the defense, but you're on the opposite side of this argument.
They should have absolutely gone for two. And I'm not saying that they could have not gotten it. They could have tried for two and failed, and going for two was still the absolutely right play. Because if you go for it and make it, the Buffalo drive cannot end the game. I guess Buffalo could go for two, but now you're telling me that you have to prevent Buffalo from getting eight, and you have a chance to tie the football game and go to overtime. That is the best case scenario. The worst case scenario in that situation is you score the two, and then Buffalo goes down the field, gets their own two, and it's all moot. But going for two there was the right play. There's also a butterfly effect to this. At 22-23, Buffalo might be handling their drive a little differently. They might be a little more conservative. They might be a little more run-oriented. There might be plays that are different in the course of the game because it is, in fact, a tighter game. I understand why Reed, who is ultra-conservative or skews conservative, kicks the extra point. But considering you had a backup kicker and you have just scored a touchdown from the 2-yard line and there's, what, 7 minutes of football left? You go for two because it doesn't feel like there are multiple possessions left. So you try to make it as easy as possible to either win or extend the football game. I think Reed made a math error by not going for it, and it made that Josh Allen touchdown essentially a nail in the Chiefs' coffin because Tyler Bass is now an extra point away from winning the football game, and I get he missed one, but extra points are, generally speaking, a layup. They go in more times than not.
And that guy was really good on extra points yesterday. He was incredible.
I think Andy Reid made the wrong choice in being conservative and taking the extra point there.
This is where I'm going to side with Andy being more aggressive, but I think this is one of the arguments that, to me, I think there's really valid arguments on both sides. Now, your scenario, I think, plays more to if they get the two-point conversion, which we agree is not 100% probability. Like, you kind of got to weigh the 50-50, right? You're right. If the Chiefs get the two-point conversion, it still puts them in a really good spot at the end of the game. If you get the two-point conversion, you're down 1 point. Now, maybe Buffalo goes for two, up seven, to give themselves a 9-point lead. Again, now we're just playing a bunch of hypotheticals and what could possibly happen. But you do give yourself a chance if the worst case scenario happens, which, to your point, they didn't really give themselves a chance if the worst case scenario happened. They kicked the extra point. The only thing, of all the things that you could do in this scenario, you can hit, you can stand, you can double down, you can split, you can do all these things. The only thing you could not do on that drive is give up a touchdown. You could have taken anything else. You could have taken a field goal. They cannot get a touchdown, and they gave up a touchdown. I think there's maybe more pathways to lose in your way, because let's say you go for it, right? Let's say you go for it and you don't get it, and now you're down three. The touchdown puts you out of it too, right? Touchdown, they go score a touchdown, you're down three, they now score a touchdown, you're down 11 points, you lose the exact same way. So I kind of feel, and listen to this, and I get it, we're arguing six and one and half a dozen in the other. The problem was not the decision to go for the extra point or not go for the extra point. The problem was them giving up a touchdown and basically not giving their offense another chance at the end of the game. That's what really did them in, and not the decision to kick the extra point. The decision to kick the extra point, I think, is in line with what they do. They say in blackjack, if you hit on 16, hit on 16 every single time, don't switch it up. Be consistent. Don't play off feeling. This is what you do. And I think Andy has shown he's going to be a little bit more conservative, and he's going to take points when they're there, and he's not going to roll the dice, and he's not going to gamble, and he's going to trust his players to go out there and execute. I think he followed his formula, and for the first time in a while, their defense failed them yesterday. Their defense failed them and did not give them a chance to win. It has been a while since you and I have been able to have that conversation. I think if you ask Andy again, I'm guessing he was asked this question on the in the press conference, and we can ask Mitch. You know, Mitch is actually pretty conservative. Mitch is usually on team take the points. I'm guessing that Andy would do it again. I would do it again. I think that kicking the extra point when they were down, I guess it was two, I think that was the right decision to make.
It would have been three because the extra point made it two.
Yeah.
I just feel like, for a team that this week dealt with the injury of their kicker, and we said it might be time to be more aggressive, an aggressive moment, a real-life aggressive moment. I know that from their own 25, they had a 4th-and-1. They were never going for that. A real-life moment to be aggressive and play the math showed up, and Andy Reid skewed conservative. And you're right, the defense eventually lost the game by giving up the touchdown to Allen. But in that scenario, if you make it, that touchdown to Allen, your defense now has another chance to bow up and give the team a chance to tie the game. And I much rather have Patrick Mahomes have the ball late with a chance than it be ball game by the time he got it. Because at 2:17, I basically turned the game off and went and made some dinner because I knew it was over. If you get the two-point conversion, it's not over.
Coming up on the other side, we will be joined by Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He was at the game yesterday. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs' first loss of the regular season. Keep it right here. It's the Drive. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.